on Radio Ghana and put to our very first story. Even though Ghana has not recorded any incidents of execution by death penalty since 1993, the life of Gutua Dambia, a 36-year-old farmer, hangs in the balance as the Sunyani High Court has pronounced a death sentence on him for committing murder. The convict, who was found guilty by a 7-member jury, has been condemned to death by hanging and is now in custody awaiting presidential assent to the sentence. This sentence comes after human rights group Amnesty International urged government of Ghana to cancel the death penalty, describing it as a denial of the fundamental human rights of the very people the laws seek to protect. Tonight, we examine this policy and ask how relevant it is. We have on the line Deputy Attorney General and Minister of Justice, who is also the Member of Parliament for Timpane and a lawyer himself, Joseph Gwenka. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, George Asikri. Good evening to your listeners and thanks for having me.
Thanks for your time also. Sir, what accounts for the reluctance on the part of our president in the Fourth Republic in giving assent to the death penalty?
Well, you see, the world is shifting away from execution. And I can tell you that history has shown, and I believe many are aware, that in England, for example, a number of years after a person had been convicted and executed, it emerged that he was an innocent person and the guilty party was found. At that stage, George, what could have been done? The man could not have been resurrected from his grave. That was the end of the matter. The other one was also eventually sentenced to death, but an innocent man has suffered. And you know that our legal balance says that it is better for 99 people who are guilty to be left free than for one innocent person to be convicted. Now, so the fundamental basis of this, which is also the reason for the human rights activists and then the all the human rights groups in the world, advocating that, indeed, under the circumstances, if you are saying that it is wrong to deny somebody of the right to life, and you also deny another person the right to life because you are denying someone the right to life, then the very thing you are seeking to protect, you are violating it. However, our statute books are containing that, for example, murder, treason, and others, when you are convicted, you are sentenced to the maximum penalty of death. However, since 1993, that has not been carried out in Ghana. The last execution in Ghana was carried out in 1993. The president, starting from J.J. Rawlings, through John Kufuor, through to President Mills, President Mahama, and to His Excellency Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, none have signed up for any person to be executed since 1993. And the trend continues. Reason basically is that all across the world, there is a shift away from executions. And so I believe that that trend, even though we have it in our books, people are condemned to death, they normally remain there for life in prison. Or if later on their punishment is committed to life in prison, and then later it's sometimes remitted completely and they are pardoned. We have all that. But fundamentally, what is guiding this is a shift in focus from penal consequences exacting the highest penalty to a situation where people are just on death row, awaiting execution, and they suffer and suffer and suffer until they die in those cells without execution. I think that's the trend we have. But I believe that going forward, as a nation, I think in the not too distant future, there may be changes to our statutory provisions so that convictions can only be for life and not for death. After all, we have over 100 people on the death row. As we speak, we have more than 100 people on death row across the country, but they have not been executed since 1993. So it means that, yes, in principle, we have it in our books, but in practice, for the past 24 years, we have not actually carried out any executions.
Well, listening to you very well and the possible reasons accounting for that sounds moralistic, but we are talking of rule of law. If from 1993 to now we have presidents who are supposed to be protecting the laws of the land and they are refusing to give effect to the laws, what does that tell us?
Well, George, if what you are saying is true, and I believe it is that they have not signed every law in Ghana, and I want to tell you this, we have every law in Ghana that seeks to actually answer everything that we have. But the implementation bottlenecks are there. And as I told you, if you look carefully at our constitution, particularly the fundamental human rights and freedoms as enshrined in Chapter 5, it is such that we are shifting away from taking away lives to protecting things. So under the circumstances, I believe that the president are not acting unlawfully. They are just exercising caution in signing same for executions because they have been guided by our historical antecedents, which have not been best for us in the past. So I can say, and say without hesitation, that it is not necessarily a breach or failure to apply rules, but they want to do so with utmost caution and circumspection because of the dirty history that we've had here in our country and elsewhere. So I will say that, yes, going forward, there needs to be a firm decision as a nation, whether we are taking it out or maintaining it. But for now, it is incumbent on all of us to take note that the presidents all have exercised caution in exercising their discretion to sign for them to be executed.
I think we have two lawyers before President Akufo-Addo, but those two lawyers as president were kind of quote-unquote pastors themselves. Here we have a president who has really practiced the law and is part of the system. Do you think he'll follow the trend by not signing this?
I am a legal person and a deputy lawyer for the country and the president. I can tell you without equivocation that His Excellency Nana Dankwa Akufo-Addo, the human rights fighter par excellence and the legal luminary of all times in our country, is one person who will hasten slowly in signing such warrants for executions to be carried out. I believe that His Excellency Nana Addo is most likely to follow the trend of the previous president by not signing any of them. Yes, a very robust practitioner and a human rights advocate, but at the same time, cautiously, he will move towards assenting his signature for executions to be carried out.
But sir, if you were speaking as a legal practitioner outside your office and you asked to give an advice, is it possible for somebody who has been sentenced to death and actually not carried out, I mean the president not assigning for years, for the person to take legal action against the state for putting him or her under that level of suspicion and moral torture?
Well, that would be very novel. It has not been tried and tested by our legal jurisprudence. And I believe that maybe one of these days, somebody will just have to try it for us to see the outcome that will be pronounced by. But it's a discretion. And remember, once it's a discretion and the president hasn't exercised it, you take him to court to force him to exercise discretion. Because discretion is exercised in our country in compliance with and in accord with Article 296 of our Constitution and 23. So that if he's exercising it and he's not capricious and his actions are not accused by malice, hatred and such like, then you cannot take him on. If you take him on, in fact, the court will not see you as a serious person and your action will not see the light of day.
So if somebody is sentenced to 200 years, maybe the person is 70 years and is sentenced to 200 years, is that the same as death sentence?
It's not death sentence. It's life in prison. You see, when you say you have been sentenced to 200 years, you know the person may not be able to live to 200 years. But it just tells you that the person will remain in prison for the rest of his life, save for presidential pardon on the part of His Excellency the President.
So do you support the idea that the law should be expunged?
I think that we should take out death penalty and replace it with life sentence. That is life in prison. So that the person who commits murder stays in prison for the rest of his life, removed from society. Because if you look at the way we have crafted our constitution, especially the human rights section, it is such that we are frowning upon taking of life. And to that extent, even though our constitution itself says that, the exception to the human rights portion says that when you are executed by reason of a court sentence, there is no offense, I think that gradually and by and large, as a developing nation where we have intercessions, we should exercise caution so that we take it out and rather impose life in prison. So that a person is in prison for the rest of his life. He doesn't mingle with right-thinking members of society anymore. I think it will be one of the best options. But executions, I believe that, as it has not been carried out, it may never be carried out again in our history.
Right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful, sir.
I'm grateful.
Joseph Kwenka is Deputy Attorney General and Minister of Justice and is a Member of Parliament for Timpane. It's behind the news live on Radio Ghana. The Acting Director of Amnesty International, Frank Doyi, has agreed to speak to us, but we have difficulty getting him on his line as we speak. We will move on with other stories, but keep your messages coming on 0266-026-941. 0266-026-941.
Register and pay your TV license fee anywhere, anytime. Pay your TV license at the following Ghana post offices near you: Accra Central Post Office, Dansoman Estates, Dansoman Community Post Office, Adabraka Post Office, TUC, Mamprobi, Ministries Post Office, and also Bosokai. You can also pay at Accra North Post Office, Cantonment Post Office, Osu, Swedru Post Office, Takrade Market Circle Post Office, Takrade Main Post Office, Mando, Ho, and Keta Main Post Offices, Sakamono Estate, Impriso, Achimedown Post Office, as well as Kwabena and Kofodia Main Post Office. For inquiries, call 056-1100-800 or 056-1100-900. Any person or corporate body who contravenes the law commits an offence and is liable on conviction to a fine or to a term of imprisonment or both. Avoid embarrassment. Pay your TV license fee now. Remember, payment of TV license fee is your civic responsibility.
Welcome back. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. Pressure keeps mounting on government to rescind its decision to implement the mandatory toll levy after Parliament's Select Committee on Roads and Transport gave its backing to the suspended policy to be carried out. Groups such as the Committed Taxi Drivers Association of Ghana, AFAC, and the Progressive People's Party have earlier today added their voices to many making the rounds on government to abort the policy or face their strong opposition in response. At the time of coming to the studio, stakeholders were in a meeting at the Royal Fiesta Hotel with government on this particular issue. Tonight, we visit this mandatory road toll and the resistance that are coming from all quarters and the implication of such on our lives on the roads. We have in the studio the chairman of the Ghana Committed Taxi Drivers Association, Charles Danso. Charles, good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening, my brother. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for having you. But what explains this plaintiff document you carry? Are you a lawyer?
I'm not a lawyer.
Anyway, were you at the stakeholders meeting held this evening on the resistance to this mandatory levy?
Yes, of course, I was there.
And what happened?
Oh, first of all, let me greet your listeners and all the drivers and co-owners who are listening to us at this time. As we are saying, they've already made up their mind that they will by forcefully impose these taxes on us, which we too we are resisting to pay. And aside that, we've mounted a heavy demonstration to it. And as you were reading, you could see that most of some institutions have also showed interest in this demonstration. You didn't add COPEC,
okay.
Yeah, to it. What we are saying is this towing service, we do not disagree that it's not good implementation. is very good implementation. And what we are saying is you can't make it compulsory that whether your car was spoiled or not, you have to pay. It's not what they should impose on us. Already, those paying comprehensive insurance are already paying a towing component in the insurance scheme,
yeah.
As the insurance company has explained to us. And aside that, in so many countries, they are doing towing in that country, in so many countries. And what we want them to do is you tell Ghanaians, drivers and car owners to go and register at the towing agency. And whenever your car breaks down, they will go and tow. If they do not do that, you have any ways and means to tow it and then take any money from that vehicle.
That is what you want.
Yes, that's what we want. It's not like for maybe 8 years my car is not broken down on the road, you tell me to by force pay.
But the explanation government is giving is that your vehicle may not spoil or break down on the road, but somebody's vehicle on the road can cause your death. You can run into that vehicle and die. And so because of that, we should have everything possible to get rid of all those vehicles so that at least if there will be accident on the road, it shouldn't be because a vehicle is left on the road.
On other side, someone may say, oh, we agree to what they are saying. But let's see this way too. Whenever someone's building is in a waterway and they are demolishing it, they don't go and ask those around to pay for the bulldozers and the equipment that they use to break that vehicle. And it is the duty of the police and the assemblies to get rid of these vehicles. What we think is some people are negligently not working. You see, what I want to say is because of their negligence, these accidents are occurring, but they don't tackle them to do their work properly. Let's see DVLA. DVLA, we should ask them on what ways do they test these big trucks. We've been to DVLAs so day in, day out. We've been checking, but we don't see these trucks, trailers, and then them the DVLAs. They don't check their tires, their suspension, and all of. You see, we've not seen them be checking at the DVLAs, and whenever they don't go there to be routinely checking, and whenever they disabled on the road, you are asking me to go and pay that money. No.
Well, let's go on the phone line and speak with the Minister for Transport, Kweku Ofori Esiama. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, sir.
This policy was suspended and the Select Committee did consultation with it and came out and that approval had been given based on the work they did. But it appears massive resistance to this policy. What is the ministry's take?
I think the current committee just made a recommendation to us. And this is what they are thinking. We did not consult only the Select Committee. We are also consulting other stakeholders. And at the end of the day, government will aggregate all the recommendations from these people. And then they will put them together. Then it will inform government the direction the government should go. I think that the issue of safety on our road, everybody concurs to it. But I think what is left now is how it should be done. And that's the content of the public. So that is why we are taking the views and recommendations from all these major stakeholders within the transporters. And I'm sure that when all these recommendations are given, it will help us to know the direction with which we should try and maintain safety on our road. So that is exactly what it is.
So is it a case that some miscommunication somewhere? The impression out there is that government is going to implement the policy.
It is the way people see stories and the way they want to carry it about. The letter I had from the subcommittee of road transport subcommittee is they have made a recommendation to government, and I told them yes, I've accepted your recommendation. I was not going to look at it. Then I will communicate the recommendation to government and this, including others that I'm collecting. Then based on that, you take a decision on that. So whatever decision you want to take, I'm sure you need to go back to them and tell them that yeah, they are recommended ABC to us. We have also corrected other recommendations from other people. That is what it is. So I don't know, the good recommendation will help us to look at the direction. So stories, the way people will look at stories and the way they want to twist it or they want to love it. But you cannot fault them for that.
Opponents have already taken the lead. Some have even planned to hit the streets over this. Meanwhile, you have not taken a definitive position. So what will you do?
I think that is a duty of all of us to try to educate them and let them understand that it is a recommendation that a body has. A recommendation is made to government. And government is still trying to do consultation with other groups. So it's not a matter that the government has taken a decision on the matter. So I think it's a responsibility on all of us to communicate to them that yes, people are making recommendations. We are taking those recommendations on board, and when we are ready, we will collect them. And in case of that, you will take a decision. I think, like I said, that is the concerns of the public that was demanded, and it is going to be based on the consultation that we are doing.
So the ministry is committed to input and making changes to the current state of the policy.
I do not want to comment about the contract itself, because I've asked people to give me a recommendation. I don't think it's fair for me to talk about it. But what I'm talking about, the process is that when we go to the issue of communication, education concerning this, you realize that there has been a problem. And I think it is better for you to carry whatever program you want to implement. I think it is better for you to carry the people alongside with you. And when they do understand some of these things, you should try to explain to them, you should try to do broader consultation. Look, there have been brilliant ideas in this country. I don't know, the lack of communication has resulted in so much. The state, for example, is Kumukleko. In 1995, it was a good idea. Maybe the communication, it was not well communicated. I don't know, the people had to die. Then later they came back and explained it well. We accepted it. Now it's faithfulness. NHI, the same thing happened. It nearly resulted in certain things. Later the communication was prepared and they benefit from it. So based on this hindsight, government are learning from it. Whenever you are trying to implement a policy with the government, with the people do not understand, well, I think it's the responsibility of government, those who are implementing the policy, to explain it properly to government. That is to the people. So that's exactly what the government is trying to do. At the communication stage, where there was a problem, the government said that let us postpone it, the commencement, and collect the views from the people. Then we can put them together. Then moving forward, it will show us the direction with which we will go.
Sir, in the meantime, do you intend meeting the drivers in particular who are bent on hitting the streets?
Yeah, No. Like, I'm saying that whoever it is that we need to educate, that's why it's part of the process that you are telling that the government are going to take a decision on this matter. I don't know who is telling somebody the government is going to implement policy. Government has not come out. If government wants to implement this policy, the statement will come from the ministry. Now, the way we issue a statement to postpone it, or it will come from the president. I don't think the government or the minister or the president has issued a statement relating to the implementation of this policy or otherwise. Somebody made a recommendation to us and the media decided to twist it. For me, that is a matter. That is their own contribution on all of us, to let them understand that it's a recommendation from a subcommittee of parliament to the minister. The minister will take a look at it.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show. We're very grateful for you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Kweku Ofori-Esiama is the Minister for Transport. It's behind the news. We are live on Radio Ghana. Back to you, Mr. Danso. The minister says government has not said it is going to implement the policy. It's a recommendation from a committee in parliament telling government that go ahead and implement it. But the ministry has not officially come out to say we are doing it. So why are you causing all these confusions?
So is it different from road safety and government? Road Safety had wanted to implement this law last month or two, and we agitated. That caused all this going down and coming up of this matter. And what we are telling the government of the day is the road safety matter is not about towing service. It's not about towing service. What is very painful to me is whenever they are going to Kumasi or Tamale, they just pass through airport here and then park their cars and then board plane and then go off in the air. And then we are struggling on the road. Ghana is 60 years now. We are not, we are still plying on palm roads. What? If I say palm roads, the roads which have been constructed like how I've stretched my palm like this. Yeah. And now, you see, we are having highly occupied cars in this country. So if you construct these small roads for us to ply on, won't accident occur? In fact, if you go to the road traffic regulations, LI 2180, it stays clear at regulation 186. Or, you see, 186 that the road authorities should make provision for rest stop points and laybys.
Yeah.
Is it done? They are not doing it. Like, you won't come and sit here and discuss of this towing service. Whenever a car wants to break down, you hear it that this car is not sounding well, so I have to park. There's nowhere for the drivers to park. And road safety are saying if you drive like for, 3 hours to 4 hours, you have to rest. Where are they resting? Where are they resting? So, you see, there are so many things to talk about.
But government is of the view that, road safety commission in particular, that most of the accidents are caused by vehicles that are disabled on the road.
What make them disabled? They're not properly checked. Hmm? If you are sick and you don't go to hospital, won't you die? You will die. Car is a machine. It needs to be checked. At some point, you have to park and then rest. You see, it's like human being working. You will get tired. You have to rest. If not, you will be stressed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, it's the same applies to the car engine. You see, so no rest stop points, so the driver will be forcibly.
So are you then telling us that if all these you arguing are put on paper, I mean, if they are implemented, rest stops provided,
yeah,
proper rules constructed, vehicle owners check their routes, there will not be any need for towing
service. This towing service. Because if I'm going and I see my car is breaking down, I have to park at the roadside. And my brother, whenever a driver is tired, a driver with a trailer or an articulator, as we may see, whenever he is tired, he will park along the roadside. Because the car is not spoiled, he won't put any triangle on on the back because the car is not disabled. It's about he's tired. You see. So what about problem? You see, whenever car hits it, is it disabled vehicle? No. And they are not telling us the truth. They say, oh, you pay small amount for when your car is spoiled, they come and tow it to a certain, they will tow it someplace for you. They haven't been able to even tell us where they are towing their cars to. And you
how
see,
much are you supposed to pay?
It's arranged from 20 Ghana. Motorbike is paying 10 cedi.
Motorbike?
So do we tow motorbike? So if you put all these things in place, you could see the thing is it is dubious way of collecting money. That's what I will put it. You see, when your car is it duration for car parking, after you've paying the 20 Ghana, 30 Ghana, 40 Ghana, it arranged to 200 Ghana cedi. You see, every 6 months,
You are paying for every 6 months?
We do roadworthy every 6 months, the commercial cars.
Okay.
So when you go there, you pay this amount by the category of car you are holding, you see. So whenever the car spoil on the road, when they tow to where they are, they say they will tow it to, within 72 hours, you won't pay anything. 72 hours to 120 hours, you pay 100 Ghana Cedi.
That if they tow it to a place,
that place where the car is sitting.
Yes, and you don't go for it for 72 hours free, but...
From 72 hours is free. And then 72 hours to 120 hours, you pay 100 Ghana Cedi. And then 120 hours to 144 hours, you pay 150 Ghana Cedi. And then between 144 Ghana Cedi to 144 hours to 168 hours, you pay 200 Cedis. And then between 168 Ghana Cedi to 168 hours to 192 hours, you pay 300 Cedis. And beyond 192 hours, you pay 500 Cedi.
So even if you got accident and you are in the hospital and your car is still there, you'll be incurring debt.
Very good. Very good. And they've arranged what you are going to pay. When your car breaks down, and let's say at GBC here, your mechanic is at Tema, which the car has to be towed to Tema. Between 20 kilometers to 40 kilometers, there's a certain amount. In fact, I've misplaced one of my documents.
Your documents are too many.
Yes, yes, yes. It was given to me by National Road Safety Commission. But they haven't explained this portion to the ordinary, to the Ghanaians.
So it isn't the case that when you pay this 20, 40, 30, up to 200 Cedis, and they are towing your car to a certain place, it's fixed. If it's beyond some kilometer, you pay more.
You pay more. 40 kilo, between 40 to 50 kilometers.
All right.
And when it is a track, multiple axle, you pay 1,400 Ghana Cedi. And then have time for me, because I want the listeners to listen to us very carefully. So that it doesn't have to be like a German police arresting you. He will be pampering you, and other will, then he will by all means send you to the police station. You see, that's how they are doing. You see, so let's say truck double axle, is 1,250 Ghana Cedi when they tow from 40 to 50 kilometers, and then truck single axle. Large bus, you pay 1,050. And when it is car pickup, car or pickup, you pay 3,800 Ghana Cedi for 150 to 200 kilometers. So it is not on silver platter.
So if your car should break at Nsawam and your fitter is in Legon, you are in debt.
You are in debt. And whenever you could not remove the car from the pay the hours they calculate on it, you will pay up to 500. It will by all means travel to 1,000 and above.
I'll come back to you, but
so is this a good policy?
Let me go to the phone line and speak. I have Murtala Mohammed. He's the general secretary of the Progressive People's Party, PPP. The party has also kicked against this policy. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening and good evening to your listeners.
If you can speak up for us, your line is a bit faint. Hello?
Hello, is it clear?
Good,
now?
It's clear. Why is your party opposed to the road towing levy?
Well, first of all, the gentleman in your studio has done 90% of our job. He has made the work very easy. I think by now your listeners know that the mandatory toll is not important. First of all, what are the arguments? Government says 80% of the accidents that happen on our roads are as a result of broken vehicles that are not towed away. And so, in order to solve that problem, they are introducing this mandatory toll to curb that canker. The point is that excessive drinking causes accidents. Overspeeding causes accidents. Unlicensed drivers on our road causes accidents, and many more. The gentleman in your studio also mentioned the fact that the cars that are plying our road are not roadworthy, yet they have stickers of roadworthiness, and they are walking on the street. And that's how come they are able to break down on the way. And so, to single out one problem and find a solution to it is very unfortunate, because the problem is bigger than that single item on it. It needs a holistic approach to solving the problem.
But a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a step.
Yes, so the point is that the existing law is more encompassing than this one. The existing laws has solution to all these problems. All the government needs to do is to enforce the law. So the government is only choosing an easy way out, a very cheap approach to solving problems, which in the long run will affect this nation adversely. And so we are saying to government that what you are proposing will not solve the problem. It is a knee-jerk approach. So what you have to do is to enforce the existing law, which is a very comprehensive law that deals with every aspect of the road.
But we have difficulty enforcing that. And the stark reality is that thousands of lives are perishing every moment, any time on our roads.
But shouldn't we enforce it? What is the difficulty? The government should come and tell us. We'll help the government. I don't see any difficulty. I just see the government not enforcing it because they want to tow the lazy way. Our governments are used to doing that. Any problem that occurs, the easiest way for them is to just say, okay, what do we do? Let's find money and do it. So they quickly run for a loan and go and do it. They don't want to do the difficult one that is last. And we keep burdening ourselves with all kinds of debt. And now they want to take from the poor people. Look, that is the first thing. Let me go on again. The second point, the reason to tell why we think this law is an unjust law and an unfortunate thing that, assuming without admitting this law is good and we want to go with it, do you think it's fair for us to contract the Road Services Management Limited? I mean, we know this company. We know their track record. We know that government ever contracted them, their subsidiary company, I mean the Super Info Technology Limited. And we saw what happened, the Super scandal, and again, SABRA scandal. Look, it is based on these scandals that the NPP rode into government. How do they turn 360 all of a sudden and want to engage with the same company that dealt a blow to this nation? Up to now, we have not put this matter to rest. Why do we do that?
But a contract appears to have been entered.
For that company to solve. Eh?
A contract has been entered.
Well, like I told you, an unjust law is no law. If this law will not endure to the benefit of the people, you need to abrogate it. Whatever consequences there is, the people who signed the loan must pay for it. That is democracy. Are you saying if the law is bad and we recognize it's bad, we shall allow it to go because it has been signed? What is this judgment day phobia that is gripping everybody and everybody wants to use that as an excuse to pass an unjust law? Look, we have told you what is comprehensive, what is lasting, and what is good for this country is that this nation must enforce its laws. This country must be a disciplined country. We need to ensure that the laws are enforced so that it will have a lasting impression on this nation. Every aspect of our law is not enforced.
But Mutala, you are a political party, and the Parliament of the Republic, represented by our MPs, So it means, by extension, all of us have agreed that let's do this. And a political party is kicking against it. Are you then not inciting the people against rule of law?
Well, this is the point. Let one MP show me 1 minute of a district assembly that is talking mandatory to before they went to parliament to agree on it. Let one MP. I challenge all the MPs. I need only 1 minute from one district that sat and discussed toll, mandatory toll levy. And the people said, we agree, go and represent us. They don't do that. These people, they represent their party. That is the reality. So I'm saying that, of course, they are supposed to represent us. But in this case, they are representing their interest. That is the party's interest. And we are saying that the people should resist it. Look, this is not the first time. Ropal became Ropal, and so is in our books. It's not been implemented. It's because of the same thing. In 2008, some government wanted to introduce this law. The people at that time, Ghanaians at that time, thought, look, why don't you wait for us to go for this election? It's only 6 months election. Why are you rushing this deal?
All right.
Let's go, and after which we come back and look at it. They said no. They went ahead to pass it. Did they implement it? It's 10 years now. It's still in our books.
All right.
That is, again, an example of not listening to the people. So this law, as far as I'm concerned, is what is good for the goose is good for the gander. If you are doing some amendment and leave you with a merry, what leaves this mandatory law to be time? You can also do something about it.
Mutal, I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Very grateful for your time.
Thank you very much.
Mutala Mohammed is the General Secretary of the Progressive People's Party, PPP. We still have Charles Danso in the studio, but let me take some of your messages. Good evening, George. King Lamte King Rashid in Wenchi. George, these human rights groups are so disturbing. Good evening, George, to you and your crew. I think it depends on the type of crime you committed. If you took a life, then I think the sentence is in order. Monica Kons in Navrungo. Evening, George. I'm sorry the man should have his life ended in prison. Tijani in Yendi. George, I tell the minister, that anybody who kills any human being unlawfully should die, because if he lives, he will kill again. Let us stop listening to senseless logic from Europe. Jonathan in Insawam sent in that. AU Farouk in Tamale says, the more I hear government defending this two-track levy, the more it becomes clear that there is a create, loot, and share all over the place. Why have they cancelled almost all the NDC contracts but defending this particular one with all their strength? This is questionable. AU Farouk, that in Tamale. Please, fellow Ghanaians, let us obey the rule that will save our nation. Zibu in Wenchi. Parliament should think through this law again. Do broken bicycles and motor bicycles also cause accidents on our roads? Martin in Hohoe is asking. Abdullah in Santani Tolon district says, I think this kind of sentence will help deter others from doing bad. May Allah grant President Akufo-Addo wisdom to deliver. If I recall, urging government to support the insurance companies to take up this mandatory toll service with the supervision from the National Road Safety Commission. What happened if your car is parked at the garage for the rest of the year? Hughes Afum in Kasua asking that. If a person is in prison for 200 years, it means his or her sentence extends to the next life. A certificate to hell. Ajima in Ebura Dunkwa. It's behind the news live on Radio Ghana. Yeah, back to the studio. Other reasons cited by your members has been that already you are unable to make a lot of money to pay for, you call it sales. And so if you are taxed again, it's giving you much burden. How much does it cost to do roadworthy?
Roadworthy is about 60 Ghana cedi now.
That if you're using a taxi?
If you're using a taxi. And you know about...
And you do it twice or once?
Twice a year. Mm-hmm. And you know, Ghanaian, we do forget certain things. And I would like to remind Ghanaians, in 2015, I think July 1st or so, we agitated the same way that they said, whenever you are going to do your roadworthy, there are some machines at DVLA.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pass by it so that it will shake under your car, so that they will see whether the car is very strong, so that it doesn't go and then be disabled on the road, isn't it? We are doing it. And so where come from the disabled vehicle again? Before you've collected that money, is there still disabled vehicle? And what baffles my mind is, all percentage is 100, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And now they are chasing 21%, leaving 79.
Who is chasing 21%?
The road safety and the towing service. They say the disabled vehicles is about 21%. The crashes on disabled vehicle is about 21%. They've left 79.
So you think that 79% are being made to pay?
No,
the 75%.
No, you see, Okada causes accident in this country too much, and they are not. It's illegal to in the law
to use Okada. That's why Okada people are supposed to be part of the tool. They pay 10 cedis.
Whenever it's not good, you can't just tell someone, excuse me, who is selling weed to pay tax. You see, you can't just tell me that someone who is paying selling weed to pay tax.
Because weed is illegal.
It's illegal.
And because Okada is illegal, you think they shouldn't even glorify them by asking them yes. for that. Well, let's go to the phone lines again and speak with Davis Opoku, and he's the Director of Operations, the Pressure Group Alliance for Accountable Governance. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, my brother. How are you?
Very well, and thanks for your time. Why 2-week ultimatum to government to rescind this decision?
Well, clearly, I mean, looking at the sentiments across, having monitored radio ever since this killer tax showed this outbreak, Ghanaians are not too excited about it. People think that there's a need for government to engage the citizen even more. I mean, all major civil society groups are against the implementation of this very policy. I mean, just to give you a background, this levy was passed by Parliament last year. So it's the bill that was introduced to Parliament by the previous administration. They were unable to implement it, and sponsors of this very bill are trying to push this current government to roll out the program. First of all, I mean, I am not against, or the group is not against, any tolling system that will test broken down vehicles on our roads. I remember some 5-6 years ago, a friend of mine died because there was a broken vehicle on the N1 highway. So certainly we need a system, an effective system, that can clear vehicles, broken down vehicles, within the space of about 30 to 1 hour. And it's important that we all push and support a towing system. What we are against is the mode of implementation. First of all, I mean, trying to say that it is compulsory. Two, trying to monopolize the whole system, trying to hand it over to one company. I mean, that's where the bone of contention arises. Ghanaians are not too excited about it. I mean, we live in a free market world. There's competition everywhere, and competition breeds growth.
So well, Mr. Opoku, beyond the monopoly you talked about, Ghanaians have always not been happy when it comes to payment of money. And so if we are going to base on that, nothing will move on.
That many increases taxes. Every year when the budget says an introduction of tax or a repeal of a particular law, that imposes tax on Ghanaians. But we have not seen that I think apart from the introduction of VAT, we've not seen a very strong society question a particular implementation of a law. I mean, it's clear when you listen to radio, monitor television stations, the phone-ins that come. Virtually everybody, the country is united. We are against it.
We spoke to the minister a while ago on this particular program. He says if there's going to be implementation, a statement will come from the ministry. But there's no such statement. So why are we all...
That is why we are surprised at the work of the Parliamentary Committee on Transport.
They only gave a recommendation.
Yes. But you see, as a parliament, I mean, they invite... hitherto, they've invited parties. I mean, when we're passing the some of these bills that are bordered on communication, they invited groups like ours. Jojo. I mean, we represent the masses. We are the valve of our society. When there's anybody, any anger in anybody, I mean, they channel it through groups like ours, and we make it known to government. And what we are saying is that the matter at stake, we are not against the throwing sense. What we are against is a compulsory monopolization of the whole system. And that's why we are raising concerns. And it's good that the minister has said that if there's going to be any implementation, he would sign. And we thank the minister for this word. But we would want a very stronger statement assuring Ghanaians that they are not going to go by what is in the law. I mean, we need to sit down and judge our as a country. If we need a tolling system and every car must be insured, what prevents insurance companies from engaging with this tolling company as an add-on service where people sign on to it? So that, I mean, if a car breaks down on the highway or a car breaks down on our road, and within 5 hours or 6 hours, the driver has not been able to call the tolling company or to call the insurance company, the government has a responsibility to charge both the insurance company and the driver of the vehicle.
All right.
It's important that we introduce some sense of responsibility. People must be responsible for their actions or inaction. You understand? We can't have vehicles on a highway always patrolling to make sure that to look out for parking vehicles. People must be responsible for it. If your car breaks down, have the necessary courtesy to call an insurance company or to call a towing service so that your insurance could pay for it. This is one of the proposals on the table, and there are many of such nature. Monitoring social media, people are proposing very brilliant ideas.
All right.
All we are calling on government for, and for that matter, the transport ministry to do is that organize a roundtable discussion. Invite people to bring forth their ideas. What is the way forward? What is the best way to implement this policy? And if that is done, I think we will all accept it. But to use the back door for the Parliamentary Select Committee to recommend to the ministry, we think is not proper.
Thank you very much for your time on our show. Very grateful. David Sopoku is the Director of Operations for Pressure Group Alliance for Accountable Governance, AFACA. Some of your text messages. Senior Prophet George, kudos to Mr. Charles Danso for his excellent presentation. This towing services is a desperate attempt by government to raise revenue after stabbing itself with tax cut promises. Yin Tria, why? This one is coming from Excellency Moses Mapimba. I think this towing thing should be stopped and repackaged. The best will be to tow and collect money from culprits. We need proper statistics. Salim Inwa. Hi, George. I think it is a ploy to generate revenue, but totally at sea with this policy. Awal in Anya sent in that one. So when my car breaks down at Miaosu, was it Miaosu? Where will it be towed to? Begro or Kwau? This is absurd. Dave sent in that. Mr. Danso, your very last words.
We thank all the listeners, and then what we Ghana Committed Drivers Association is doing is we would like to sign up a share. We want those who agree not to pay for year in Tria demonstration. We will put papers on vantage points and then later let them know to go there and then sign. Because whenever they go to the road safety meeting or to meet stakeholders, whenever they meet GPRTU, national chairman and the vice, it's all over. Everybody should go and sleep. You have to by forcefully do what they say. They say at transport, that's not how we do in any place. We have to do a broader consultation. And we are begging the police to assist us, work hard for the nation, because the nation is paying them by our taxes. Whenever they see broken down vehicles, they should stop there and then guide it to direct cars to pass by it, not to use Navarres to chase the DV cars and then without mining the disabled vehicles on the road. We beg the IGP to let their people work assiduously for the nation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Charles Dawson. Unfortunately, our time is up and most of the messages coming are all on your presentation. And that Kentampo, Techimai, Atebebu. Sorry, we can't read all your messages,
yeah, so
but
we always talk the truth. And if whenever they do what we are saying, it will help the
all
nation.
Right. Thank you very much. Charles Danson is the chairman of the Committed Taxi Drivers Association of Ghana.
It's Committed Drivers Association.
Committed Drivers.
Ghana, yes, Ghana Committed Drivers Association.
Ghana Committed Drivers Association. He's the chairman. Thank you very much for coming to the studio. I was produced by Asibi Bangu Ikela, Seth Kwejo Eia, John Pobi, Beland Elom Tete, Philip Boatin, and Sewell Nanama Ajikum. Hannah Owusu Bempa was our sound engineer, and my name is George Asikri. Good night.